Lord God, you have come near. You have come near on this day and be born into our world, into our lives, the Word made flesh to dwell among us. I pray that you would this day anew teach us more of what that means, what it means to be your people, your children, the ones that you would come and dwell with and die for. Holy Spirit, use my words, may they be yours, and continually form us into the image of the one who is born for us on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at the reading from John 1 that's printed for you on page 4. Last night, I talked about verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you weren't here last night, sorry, no recap. That's the recap. We're going to talk about a different verse this morning. Same reading, though. When John begins his gospel, he begins with the first three words of the Bible. In the beginning. And the Bible begins, in the beginning, God created. So he reminds us all the way back, but he says, here, John says, in the beginning was the Word. In Greek, the word some of you may know is logos. We get words like logic from, but it wasn't just word to John, the people John's writing to the Greeks, especially non-Christians, non-Jews, it was this idea. Logos was the big, grand, beyond, ultimate being. To use a bad analogy, it's kind of like the Force in Star Wars. Now, that could get me into trouble, so... But this idea that there's this big grand force that can do all things, and this is what Greek philosophers, the logos, and John says, well, there is that. There is this great beyond. There is this all-powerful that you're thinking of, these people that don't know Jesus yet that he wants to know. There is that, and you call it logos. And a lot of, I would say, agnostics today describe God that way. There's God out there. He's big. He's so big. He's so grand. We can't know God. We couldn't possibly know God because he's so far beyond us, so grander, so powerful. If there's no way we could ever... And then verse 14, John writes, that, logos, became flesh and lived among us. That God that is incomprehensible, creator, in the beginning, created everything, far beyond our wildest imaginations, far more that God cries for his mother. That God becomes a fetus in his mother Mary's womb. That God voluntarily has to relearn language. That God voluntarily has to relearn bladder control and chewing solid foods. Because that God didn't want to stand apart far away from his world. That God wanted to come near to you and solve our biggest problem in our world. It's not something far away, it's something deep within. Something broken within us. A problem with God that only God can fix, and God does. And so John writes, that word, that logos, became flesh and lived, dwelt. There's another loaded word there. I know I don't often talk Greek, so it's Christmas Day. You get special, two for one. If you translate dwell literally, you get the word tented or tabernacled. It's the Greek word for tent. So when John's telling us things about earlier in the Bible, in the beginning, the word, the grand other God, became flesh and set a tent in our camp, what else does that sound like? Tabernacled among us. God's people in the Old Testament, God dwelled in the tabernacle, which was non-permanent, and when God's glory dwelt there, all God's people were camped all around it, and God dwelt in the middle. But whenever the glory of God got up and said, we're going, they said, we're going, and they packed up their stuff. And God led them, remember, by cloud and fire, and God was always in their midst leading them. And then the glory of God settled in the tabernacle, and then that is where they stayed for as long as God said. And so God tabernacled, tented, lived among God's people. Now they all couldn't go into the tabernacle, into the Holy of Holies. But then he says, the Word became flesh and moved into your neighborhood, is how one Bible translator writes it. That's what kind of God we have. And no other faith comes close to claiming anything like that. Some faiths say, yeah, there's an all-powerful God out there. Yeah. We can't possibly know him. If you study Eastern religions, they'll say, yes, there's this big force, and you can join that force. Buddhism will talk this way, but it's not personal. It didn't come to you, and there's no worship and kneeling. It's or many, many, many faiths will offer you a way to follow the right rules, follow the right path, do the right things, and then you know you've achieved something. You've made it. God will either bless you or honor you or ultimately take you to be with him forever. And there are many ways, and there are many forms of that look like Christianity offering that to you. It's just do a little more, be a little more, but that's not Christmas. And that's not the Word became flesh and dwelt, lived among you. You see, if Christmas is true, grace is true. And if Christmas is not true, grace is not true. But God has come near. That all-powerful, all beyond us, God beyond your wildest imagination has said, I want to know you. I want to put your shoes on. I want to put your sweater on, go to your doctor's visits with you, lay in your hospital bed with you, and know what your life is like. Because that's what God wants to redeem and restore and make new. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If Christmas is true, and it is, grace is true. We don't have to look at God and say, have I done enough? God, have I been good enough? That's Santa, right? If you've been good enough, and then you can use threats to make people be good. God says, I love you. And the biggest problem you have is a broken relationship with me, and you can't fix it. So I will. And so the Word, God becomes flesh, dwells among us to live the life we should have lived, die the death we deserve to die, and arise from the dead and freely give you forgiveness and renewal. And because Christmas is true and God comes to be near to us, God communes with us. We don't climb our way to the top of the mountain where God is. No, God comes down just as mysterious as a little baby mysteriously climbs down in bread and wine and communes with you today. The Word became flesh and blood for you. So may the peace of God, which goes beyond our understandings, including a little baby in Bethlehem and bread and wine at God's table. May that peace guard your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. And Merry Christmas.